Please rise. And our text this morning is the gospel message as you have heard read. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. My dear brother and sister, please keep your finger on the hymn that we just sang. We're not going to sing it again, but we are going to recite a verse, a very important stanza at the end of the sermon. My dear brother and sister in Christ Jesus, over the last couple of months, we've been hearing a lot about unemployment. Unemployment is something that's very real in society. It's interesting that people only talk about it when it affects them or they have a purpose to talk about it. But let's go a different route this morning. There's always employment. There's always employment in the church. And employment in the church, by the way, my dear brother and sister, is a wonderful work. Yet so many, many feel so unworthy to be working in the church. Yet, let me remind you, you are not unworthy. Recall that you have been baptized. Recall that you stand here at the altar and you receive His body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. Let me remind you that you're hearing the Word, the law rightly divided from the gospel. And in hearing the blessed Word of our Lord, it is He who makes you worthy. It is He who prepares you, just as we see in our text this morning, that He prepares the 12. So we'll end our sermon this morning with those important words of stanza 4. So keep your finger on the hymnal. Keep it open. We're going to recite it together. But until then, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Jesus was sent. Yes, Jesus also was sent. Sent by the Father to seek and to save. He was traveling throughout Galilee, and He was teaching, and He was preaching, and He is healing. And He's doing all of this work by Himself. Oh yes, 12 men and some more following Him. But they're only listening. They're only watching. If you will, we can say that they're being instructed. Dear ones, what we hear is the first seminary. Jesus is the first professor. The only perfect professor, by the way. Even though there may be some over here in Fort Wayne that don't like hearing that. But there's only one perfect professor, and His name is Jesus. And He's teaching His 12. They're undergoing an education. But just like Vicarage, they are going to be sent out to do that which they have been taught. Now, as Jesus is going about Galilee, teaching and preaching, He's also healing. And His healing confirms His preaching and teaching. He is showing the people that what He is proclaiming is the truth, that He does have power and that He does have authority, and He does that by casting out demons and healing every form of infirmity. Yet when Jesus saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. When He saw, and what Jesus saw is what we would never ever notice. The compassion of Jesus is one of the deepest, richest, most comforting aspects of our Lord. Of all of His great qualities, which are perfect, this quality is the most genuine that we should speak of. His compassion for His people. The word is an interesting word in the Greek. Maybe I could have you say it with me. Esprochnizothi. A little difficult, isn't it? Theologians like saying that word because it's a cool word. esplachnizothi. What it means is to be moved inwardly, to be moved so deeply that your guts spill out, they gush forward. It's a deep-seated affection for another person. To the casual observer, of all of these people coming to Jesus, they would have never seen what Jesus saw. The healing that Jesus sees in these people is a spiritual need. Remember, these Jews were not hearing the truth of God's word. The priests were not proclaiming to them about the Messiah. What were the priests proclaiming to them? Law, 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 always law. You have to do this, and you have to do that, and you have to give this much, and the more you give, the more you'll be blessed. Rather, should I say, the more you give, the more I'll be blessed. For the priests were stealing from God. Each coin that was dropped in the coffer, that coin would go to a priest, and it wouldn't go to the work of proclaiming God's word. The healing that Jesus saw was that these people needed to hear the good news. The good news that he was proclaiming. The good news that he was preaching. Repent and believe in the kingdom, for he himself is the kingdom. And in their repentance, they will be forgiven. The healing that they needed was truly spiritual. Jesus saw these little lambs who were dejected and thrown down, if you will. In a spiritual sense, they were already scattered. Hence, Jesus says, they are like sheep without a shepherd. I don't think any of you raise sheep here. You may know someone who does. And without a shepherd, without a fence, without any kind of guides whatsoever, a sheep will do what a sheep does. It will wander off. It will follow the grass, if you will. And it doesn't matter where that grass goes, they will follow. They will follow their stomach, even if it leads them right into the jaws of the wolf. The people were burdened. They were burdened by shepherds who were not true shepherds. These shepherds were hirelings. If you've ever had someone who worked for you, you know that that person will obey your instructions as long as you pay them. Stop paying them, they leave. The same way here. Jesus is telling us that the shepherds that the people have were not true shepherds. They were only concerned about themselves, me, myself, and I. They didn't care about the lambs whatsoever. Therefore, they were beaten down. They were crushed under the heavy stones of the law. That wasn't the Lord's commandment, by the way. He had told the priest that they were to proclaim the word of the Lord, that they were to proclaim that there is a Messiah who would come, who would heal all of their diseases. And the one disease that he would heal, that was their greatest enemy, was eternal death, which is what Jesus did here upon his cross. So Jesus now introduces to his disciples another example. He tells them that the harvest is great, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Jesus knows the terrible condition that was occurring in Israel. Jesus also knows the terrible condition that is occurring here in America. And not only here in America, but even in the churches in America. For in the churches today, rarely do you hear preaching and teaching about Jesus. It's preaching and teaching about the preacher. If I would talk to you about myself all the time, what good would that do you? I cannot save you. I did not hang on the cross for you. As a matter of fact, I don't even come close to hanging on a cross for you. Yet I am not a hireling. I have been sent here to proclaim the truth of God's word to you, to all of you, to rightly divide law from gospel and gospel from law, to rightly administer the sacraments, and to visit the sick and the shut-in, to absolve your sins by the power and by the name of God. That's all I'm called to do. I'm not called here to stand up here and preach to you about other things that will not save you. And that's what the people were hearing then, and that's what people are hearing today. Jesus knows this terrible condition. So he calls his 12, he calls his disciples to them, and they are called apostles. They are to proclaim, they are to announce, they are to be heralds, they are to be ambassadors for the king. Now stop and think about it. You're appointed to be an ambassador for our government. Therefore, you're to speak what the president tells you to speak. And if you go to another country and speak just the opposite, how long do you expect to keep your job? So a pastor is called to proclaim the king's word. But that pastor stands up and proclaims his or her own word. How long do you think they can stand? That's what an apostle does. He proclaims the word of the king. And what does he proclaim? The truth of God's word. Repent of your sin. If you do not repent, you will die in your trespasses and sin. But in repentance, there is plenteous forgiveness. For your Lord is a compassionate Lord, forgiving the sins of all who call upon his name, who bow their heart before him. And a broken and contrite heart he will not despise. But if I tell you, you have to do this, and you have to do this, and you have to do this, and you have to keep doing it, and if you don't do it well enough, you don't have enough faith, and you don't have enough faith because it's your fault, not mine. That's the message that thousands and thousands of Christians are hearing today, because they are not hearing the truth of God's word. We know that the harvest is great, and that the Lord will call. The Lord is the Lord who calls men to go out into the harvest field. Thus, we see with the disciples this morning that Jesus gives them authority and power to do his work. And in giving them this authority and power, he sends them into the harvest. These men who are now in their vicarage, that's what this is. They're going on their vicarage. They're going out to select parishes, if you will, select communities to proclaim Jesus and what he has done and what he is doing and what he will do. He will take away all their sins and he will give them a right spirit so that when they do worship, the Lord will hear and the Lord will answer and the Lord will forgive. Dear ones, the workers. These are the names of the 12 apostles, and you heard those names, didn't you? Those names are very familiar to us. Some of the names aren't so familiar to us, but did you notice that they're always named in pairs? There's actually three groups of four names, and if any of you are very good at math, you'll know that 3 times 4 equals, not 11, I heard 11. No, it's 12. 12. This is how the writers always group the apostles. 4 men in 3 groups. Notice that one of these men is a tax collector. Matthew the tax collector, from where we get our message this morning. Now that means something. It meant something to them. It doesn't mean anything to us unless you think of Matthew being an IRS agent. Which is what he was. He was a publican. And the publicans were the scourge of the earth. For they would take the people's money, they would jack up the price, and they would skim off the top what they wanted for themselves as long as they met the Roman tax. They were okay. The Romans didn't care. They could rip the people off as much as they want as long as the Romans got their money. Thus, what is Matthew saying this morning? Look at me, I'm a publican. I'm the scourge of the earth. Yet Jesus, in his great mercy, has called me to proclaim his divine message. And you say that you're not worthy? The point being made is that Jesus calls various people from various backgrounds, and he endows them. He endows them. He gives them the authority. He sanctifies and He purifies. He sets them apart and He speaks through them. But you have to be willing to open your mouth. Therefore, Jesus sends them to the people, and they're to proclaim the message to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As they preach, they are to do very specific things. Jesus tells us that they are to heal, that they are to raise, that they are to cleanse, and that they are to drive out. By the way, these words in the Greek language are second person plurals, you all, and they're imperatives, they're commands. They're not little suggestions or maybe you should think about doing this. No, you are to heal. You are to raise. You are to cleanse. You are to drive out demons. They're to do this for the oppressed. These four groups of people that Jesus is talking about are the four groups of people that are victims of the evil one. And it's no different than today. There are those who are in need of spiritual healing. There are those who need to be raised from the dead. There are those who need to be cleansed from their spiritual infirmities. And there are those who have that need the demon driven out. If you stop to think about it, that all happens at the font. Notice that Jesus is to tell them that they are to pray for this. They are to call upon the Lord. They are to implore Him to send out workers. And maybe you noticed Jesus answers even before they pray. And that's what He does for each and every one of you, dear one. In your faith, pray to Him. And in your faith, know that He will hear your prayer and He will send. Lastly, Jesus closes by saying, freely you have received, freely give. Did you notice that this morning that you heard and the children heard what Jesus has done for them? Did you notice that there was no price to pay? If you pay for a gift, what kind of gift is it? If you pray, if you have to pay for the gospel, what kind of gospel is it? No, dear one, you have received freely, and therefore proclaim freely. Go to your neighbor. Go to members of your own family, as a matter of fact, and speak the truth in love. Tell them what Jesus has done for you, that He has healed you, that He has raised you, He has cleansed you, He has driven out of you the evil one. Speak the truth in love. And in doing that, you're doing the work of the kingdom. So therefore, rejoice. I say again, rejoice. You have not just heard about the forgiveness of your Lord. Actually, you have received the forgiveness of your Lord. For in His name, all your sins are forgiven. You have been healed. You have been raised. You have been cleansed. And the evil one has been driven from you. Therefore, dear one, let's turn to 496 and let's read together stanza number 4. I pray that this will convict you, but I also pray that you will hear the word of the Lord and you will answer. Stanza 4, let's read together. Let none hear you idly saying, there is nothing I can do, while the souls of men are dying. And the Master calls for you. Take the task He gives you gladly. Let His work your pleasure be. Answer quickly when He calleth. Here am I. Send me. Send me. God's grace to you all. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus now and forever. Amen.